This is Susan Zebrecht, Telluride Inside and Out. On an interview in late October, Dr. Paul Hochmeier spoke on the subject, Addicted to the Internet. That interview first appeared on CBS's program, The Couch. We are now going to explore that subject further. Dr. Paul Hochmeier, welcome back to Telluride Inside and Out.
Thank you, Susan. It's good to be here.
So first, let's talk about the upside of Internet in your life and in the lives of your patients.
Well, there's an enormous upside to the Internet. I mean, let's not pretend that it hasn't changed our life dramatically in a very positive way. It's leveled the playing field in terms of, I think, almost all professions. We have incredible access to information that we never had access to before. We are able to connect with people all around the world, and so it's enhanced our lives in tremendous ways.
And I suppose that question was in the nature of we hold these truths to be self-evident. But I think having identified the positive side, which is universally known, let's talk about the dark side. What are the warning signs that someone is crossing the line between healthy and unhealthy behavior vis-a-vis the Internet?
The biggest red flag is really where you start to lose control, meaning that the Internet becomes more and more of your life. It consumes your thoughts. It consumes your time. It's taking the place of physical activities. You're not being as physically active as you used to. You're not really engaging with people face-to-face anymore. You're spending just really huge amounts of time, more and more time, behind a computer in the isolation of your house.
And isn't it true that for some people, the Internet really replaces their intimate life, their intimate interactions with their partners?
It does, and it's, you know, it becomes, in that regard, it can be a very safe place. But it can also really promote, the two things that I see that it promotes are really the concept of narcissism, where people become very self-absorbed in themselves, and I think we see that on Facebook for those of us who have Facebook accounts, where it seems to be the same people that are constantly giving us update on the, you know, rather mundane details of their life. So essentially they're celebrating themselves on their Facebook account. And then the other thing that we see that's come out of the Internet is this concept of deception, where people aren't completely truthful. And that's really saying that's being kind about it. In some cases, people are just outright tell lies. We had a horrible situation here with, you know, the Hurricane Sandy in New York, and people were actually tweeting false information, telling people that there was gas where there wasn't gas. And so we have this incredible a license, if you will, for people to be deceptive and mean-spirited as well, hiding behind their computer screen.
Okay, thank you for that. And what are the implications beyond, obviously, larceny, fraud, all of the things you've named, if a person or a member of your family is crossing the line? And what happens to the family dynamic? What have you seen?
Well, the two things that I really see first is conflict, and typically that's between parents and their kids. So with teenage boys, it's usually they're spending an enormous amount of time on gaming sites. They're not getting up in time for school. They're staying up late at night. They're not doing their homework. For girls, it's more of this, you know, social, spending an enormous amount of time on social networking sites and on fashion sites and on shopping sites. So they become consumed with material goods. And I think that is a negative influence on our daughters in particular in terms of, you know, making them very materialistic and, you know, dying to know what the latest reality celebrity is wearing. In terms of other conflict, the second thing is conflicts between romantic partners, husband and wives, boyfriend-girlfriends, boyfriend-boyfriends, girlfriend-girlfriends, whatever. It's this, you know, where someone is having a cyber affair online or going on Internet sex sites, pornography. So it causes conflict in those relationships.
Okay. So then how to spot it? What questions should you be asking yourself to determine if you or a loved one is crossing that line when it comes to Internet use? What are the warning signs?
Well, again, the warning signs is the sense of lack of control, needing more and more. It's a concept of called there's a concept called tolerance. So basically you need to use more and more, be online more and more to get the same baseline level of satisfaction. And so you're finding yourself spending more. You used to go online for an hour. Now you're up to three. Next thing you know, you're up to five. So there's that. The other thing is this concept of withdrawal. So when you're not connected, you have anxiety or you feel depressed or you feel like you're missing something. You're filled with all of these negative emotional states when you're not connected. And the other thing is really, again, like we talked about earlier, which is it causing conflicts in your interpersonal life? Is it causing stress between you and your loved ones or your friends, and maybe even in your work environment? Is it causing you to experience conflict in your work, and is your performance suffering as a result of your internet use? So it's really those three things that I look for to determine
like
whether or not somebody's
heroin.
In dangerous ground.
It sounds like you're describing a major drug addiction.
Well, they're very similar, aren't they? And so it's very much that. And so there is a concept called, you know, internet addiction, which is being batted around and being explored. The manual for psychological disorders is the DSM-4. It's being revised to the DSM-5, and there's going to be included in the DSM-5, which is the latest and greatest, apparently, internet use disorders. So it's being recommended for future studies so that we can take a look at this in a more scientific level and to see whether or not this does rise to the level of addiction. And then once we make that determination, then we can come up with some established criteria for treating it.
Are people who are addicted to the internet candidates for 12-step programs, or are there other options you prefer for treatment?
You know, I think 12-step programs are fantastic for all sorts of addictions. You know, for those in the audience who are not aware of really the basis of 12-step program, started with alcohol, and it was basically abstinence-based. And you belong to a community of other people who are also doing something to address their problem with alcohol. It's been expanded now for a variety of addictions. Internet addiction is different from alcoholism or drug addiction because it's called what's called a process addiction. So you're not necessarily addicted to a substance like an alcohol or a specific drug, but you're addicted to the process of doing something. And so the treatment is different, isn't it? Because with drug addiction and alcoholism, the best indicated way to heal from that is to abstain from ingesting it. Well, in the world we live in, you can't do that with the internet, can you? Because we have some very valid reasons for going online, and so we need to figure out a way to put healthy boundaries around our use. The 12-step meetings provide people with this very supportive community where they can begin to deal with these boundaries and deal with getting honest about their use and really finding a very supportive, loving community that they can heal and find some relief from a disorder that's causing them distress in their life.
Interesting. In your experience, which I know is vast in terms of dealing with a wide range of addictions, because it's a process addiction and it's not a chemical imbalance caused by ingesting a drug or alcohol, whatever, which is a drug, is breaking that addiction easier or equally difficult?
You know, in my experience, process addictions can be harder than substance abuse disorders because you can't do the abstaining. So one of the great things about recovery from drug and alcohol addiction is that there's this capacity to abstain. So it's very black and white. With process addiction, it becomes a bit more gray. And so a good example of a process addiction is an eating, somebody who has disordered eating, either anorexia or bulimia. So we can't say, okay, just you're not going to eat anymore. You need to figure out, you know, you need to identify those trigger foods that cause you to overeat if you're a bulimic, or that cause you anxiety if you're an anorexic, and you need to come up with a healthy plan that enables you to engage in healthier eating. And the same thing happens with the internet use. So you need to come up with some boundaries and a plan that enables you to use the internet in a healthy, constructive way and keep out you know, the destructive pathological ways that, that people go online. And so it requires more of a nuanced approach. It requires more of a test, trial and error. Certainly it happens daily, and people do recover in very, very significant ways from process addictions. But it's a different approach, and it requires, I think, more nuanced and more patience, but and a plan, and definitely a plan of action.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I'm sure we could talk for hours on the subject. We will talk again soon, I hope. This has been Susan V. Brock, Tell You Right Inside Now, speaking with Dr. Paul Hochmeier. His column is Shrink Wrap, and it tends to be monthly. This month's subject was Addicted to the Internet. Dr. Paul, thanks so much for joining me.
Always a pleasure, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you.